He is the lily of the valley. Amen. The bright and morning star. The fairest of 10,000 to our soul. And it is all about Jesus. It really is. And tell you what. Well, it's a blessing to have Brother Henderson to be a member of our church, number one. And it's a blessing to have him come speak this morning. Brother Henderson, you come on and preach for us.
In New York City, there was a place called the Bowery. And in that place, the homeless could go and spend the night in the cold New York weather for 25 cents. It was always a crowded place of indescribable humanity, a place you would never want to go just to hear about. On a cold January morning, one of those homeless people, described in those days as bums, got up off his cot and started toward the wash basin. And the record gets a little bit fuzzy right there. I cannot be certain whether someone had slashed his throat for the last bit of booze in his bottle, or if he fell just before he got to the basin and broke the basin and parts of it cut his throat. But one way or the other, when he reached the floor, he had a huge gash in his throat and was bleeding profusely. The doctor was immediately summoned because they had one nearby. And the doctor sewed his throat up with a thread off of a sewing spool, and it was black. Wasn't unusual, just another bum with his throat cut. They put him on a horse-drawn carriage and hauled him off to the Bellevue Hospital. They'd seen it 1,000 times. They got his name wrong. They put his age down wrong. The whole thing was wrong. But no bother. They'd seen it 1,000 times. Just another bum. The only difference was this bum was a songwriter. And he had written more than 200 songs in his time and had been paid well for them. Songs like "Oh Suzanne," "The Old Folks at Home," My Old Kentucky Home," "Kentucky Races," and 200 others. And for all of these songs, he had been well paid. His income had been wonderful, but he got his feet on the wrong pathway and started down the downward path and wound up looking twice his age. And 3 days after they hauled him to the hospital, he died. And it was soon discovered that it was Stephen Foster, one of the great songwriters of the time. One of his friends went to the morgue together his remains, and he had an old worn-out coat and 38 cents. That's it. That was his total estate. And I tell you that to tell you that it all happened because he started down the wrong trail. If the Bible is plain on anything, it's plain on the fact that there is a broad road that leads to destruction. It is broad enough to accommodate every passion. It is broad enough to take care of every desire, but it leads to destruction. It is also plain that there is a narrow road that leads to life. But people get going on the wrong one, and the results are disastrous. There was a time a young lawyer wanted to mix Jesus up and ask him a question that he couldn't answer. Can you imagine that? But he wanted to. And he went to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "I want to ask a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that's a double-barrel question when you think about it just a little bit. If you do something, you get rewarded for it. If you inherit, someone else did the work and you got the blessing. So you can't do something to inherit eternal life. And Jesus used a current event to tell this young fellow about what to do. Once he had asked the question and Jesus had given him some answer, he said, what does the law say you're supposed to do? He said, I'm supposed to love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my soul, and my neighbor as myself. And Jesus said, that's right. You can do that. If you do that, you'll be all right. So his next question was, who is my neighbor? Those jokers live by me. I got to love them. And Jesus used a current event to clarify the matter for it. It is recorded in the book of Luke at chapter number 10. Now, I know that when I give you my chapter number and the verse number where I wish to start, that most of you folks will read the rest of the chapter in 30 seconds. But I ask you not to do it this time. I want you to go slow. I want you to walk with me. I want us to go through this passage that Jesus gave because it is magnificent. You remember, any time you're reading the words of the Son of God, they ought not be taken lightly. You ought to ask every one of them, what does this mean? You ought to walk slow. So in Luke chapter number 10, Jesus is answering a young lawyer who's my neighbor and working that all out for him. So at verse number 30, Jesus answered and said, a certain man. Now let me stop right there. This is not a parable. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a little story. This is about a certain man, a particular man. A certain man went down. And again, I got to stop. I want to stop often and let you think about these things. This certain man is going down. How is he going down? It said he's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And you know, of course, that Jerusalem is 2,500 feet above sea level. 17 miles away is Jericho. And it's 825 feet below sea level. Think about it. 2,500, 825 below sea level, 17 miles. It is a crooked, wicked road. It is a downward path from Jerusalem to Jericho. And any time you turn your back on the house of God, any direction you're going is down. I don't care what compass point you take, it's down. D-O-W-N. This Stephen Foster that I told you about went down 38 years and it was all over with. And I'm here to pound on your soul and say to you, if you turn your back on God, you're going down. Jesus said so. I didn't. I don't own Western Union. I just deliver telegrams. And he said, is going down. Went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Thieves camped out down there so they could pounce on everybody that came along. There were caverns back in those places and they stayed back in those caves. And somebody come along, looked like he was prosperous, they'd jump right on him. So this man's going down there. And he fell among thieves, which stripped him. When they got through with him, he was naked. Let me drive home to your soul that sin has a horrible bargain to it. My great-great-grandfather Adam, back yonder in the garden, was created by Almighty God Himself. And God, it says in the book of Psalms, is clothed in righteousness and in glory. So I assume that Adam was clothed that way. But when Adam sinned, what happened? Naked. He went from being clothed in the garments of God to being naked when he put his feet on the wrong pathway. My great-grandmother Eve caught in the same throes, and they both stood naked and embarrassed and ashamed. And they must have said, we can't stand before God like this. And I'm here to tell you, you cannot stand before God when the sin has taken the garments away and you stand naked with your sin exposed. So they stripped him. They stripped him of all of his clothing, of his raiment. And the next word said they wounded him. Now, they just beat up on him something horrible. And again, I want to come home to your soul and say, sin will do you in. It'll beat up on you royally. You won't look like the same person when it gets through with you. This man had contusions and abrasions and lacerations and piercings and incisings and every other way you can wound the human body. They beat him up, and sin will beat you up. You cannot beat the sin game. You know how bad they wounded him? You don't have to guess. It's right here. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Half dead. He can't get up and walk anymore. He's half dead. He can't talk much anymore. He's half dead. He can't do anything. He cannot retrieve himself. He cannot go home. He's half dead. And sin takes it right out of you. And this man has been robbed. He has been wounded. He has been hurt. He's semi-conscious. Oh, he needs some help. I feel how much help he did need. Because as a boy of 9 years old, I started down the sin trail. And the first thing you know, I felt naked and wounded and sorrowful and crying out to God, oh, how I wanted to be off of the wide road that leads to destruction. How I wanted to be on the narrow road that leads to life. And so this man lays here. What else can he do? Nothing else can he do. And I want you to know, when it comes to the matter of salvation, there's nothing you can do but ask God for grace. Ask God for mercy. That's all. You can't do anything else. While he lays here like this, it said, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Now, you know the priest. They're these Old Testament people that take care of the temple and take care of the songs that are sung and the sacrifices that are made. They're the head of religion. One of these fellows came along, and there lays that poor, broken, bloody man by the roadside. What does the priest do? He passes by. Well, now, before you castigate him too seriously, let me tell you, that's about all he could do. When a man is dying in sin, he doesn't need religion. He needs salvation. So the priest passed him by. Just went on. And then the record said, likewise, a Levite. Now, a Levite is the deputy sheriff of the Old Testament who makes sure that the law is kept. In other words, the Levite could have stopped and said, now, look, fella, you can't work on the Sabbath day. Well, he's not going to work. You can't walk more than 3/4 of a mile. He's not going to walk. You can't eat certain kind of meat. He's not going to eat any kind of meat. He's going to die. He's going to go to hell. That's what's going to happen to him. That's all that's going to happen to him. He doesn't need the law. He doesn't need to be told what the law says. He needs help. And what did the Levite do? He passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan. Now, you know the Samaritans. They were an outcast, hated people. The Jews did not like the Samaritans because they were mixed up with the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't like the Samaritans because they were mixed up with the Jews. They didn't have any friends. They were outcasts. They were socially outcasts. They were economically outcasts. They were set aside. They had a little strip of land. And if you're going from the south of the Holy Land up to the north, you went right through their land. But an Orthodox Jew wouldn't even walk through their land. He'd go across the river that way and then up and then cross the river back to keep from even walking through their country. One of these fellows came along. One of these Samaritans came along. Despised and rejected. and set aside by mankind, this Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. These other two jokers just went on. But this despised half-breed came out here and came where he was, it said here in certain language, and saw him. He looked at his deplorable condition and had compassion. Oh, you're about to see divine love take action. He had compassion. Compassion is that you have when you see a snotty-nosed kid in the wintertime running around barefooted with his feet cracked open in the cold weather and about to freeze to death. And you say to yourself, I wish I had that kid. I'd love it up to myself and take it to my house and get it in a tub of hot water and get it all scrubbed up. That's compassion. I'd cut his hair with a pair of scissors out of the machine drawer. That's compassion. I'd feed that kid a good meal. That's compassion. And this physician, I take it he was a physician. You'll notice it as we go along. He saw him. So he went to him. Look out, physician. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get this man's blood all over you if you get down there where he is. But he went to him, the record says, after he saw him and had compassion on him, and starts to bind up his wounds. Oh, he must have been a doctor because he had the bandages with him. And he had some oil with him. And he starts to wipe those wounds clean and start to wind them up a little bit and pour that smooth oil in. Can't you just feel it? Doesn't that oil feel good going in those hot wounds? Oh, I know how to relate to all this because as a boy of 9 years old, I was wounded in sin. And when Jesus Christ, the great physician, came to me and began to bind up my wounds and the oil of the Holy Spirit began to come into my wounds, I felt better, a whole lot better. I wasn't a strong Christian, but thank God I was a Christian. I wasn't going to do any great things for God, but thank God I wasn't on the broad road anymore. The good physician had come. The good Samaritan had come. He saw him and went to him and began to bind up his wounds. He had a bottle of red liquid, and he began to pour that on those wounds to clean them all up. Oh, once you get saved, you can get cleaned up. You can't reform and get cleaned up as a sinner. It just doesn't work. But when the red wine of the blood of Jesus Christ starts to pour on your wounds, you can change then. Things are looking better. They'll be better. He began to pour in the oil and wine. And when he had him all bound up, he said, you know, right on down the road here, there's a little hotel. I've been there. The remains still are right there, are right on the Jericho Road. And he said, I'll get you down there. We can take care of you there. He scooped this man up off the ground and set him on his own little donkey. He said, you ride. I don't mind to walk. I don't mind to walk down on the ground, let you ride because you're unable to walk now. And he'd just been rescued from sin's dirty road. He'd just been rescued from the robbers. He didn't have the ability to do great things. But the Samaritan said, you ride, I'll walk. And he took him to that little inn and checked him in and took care of him. I want you to know something. This good church is one of those little inns, and we're supposed to take care of those that have just gotten redeemed from Jericho's road. And we're looking for recruits to help us take care of those. We're looking for recruits to help in the work of looking after those that have been rescued from the broad road, rescued from the wrong way. He took care of him there. And then his business called him the day after, and he had to go away. That's the physician I'm talking about. So he went to the innkeeper and he said, I have to go, but I'm coming again. Here are two silver coins. I want to pay you now for part of the work you're going to do. But when I get back, if you've spent more than I've paid, I'm going to pay you more. And I want you to know our great physician went to Calvary's cross and paid a tremendous price. And he has given to us part of that great price already. But he's coming again. And when he comes again, he'll pay you more if there's more due. And I hope we have a little bit due, don't you? I hope we've done a little more than is required and have a little bit of a thing due to us. Now, he said, I will come again. Hey, you forgot about my stupid lawyer, haven't you? You forgot him altogether. Well, he's the guy that started all of this. And he wanted to know who was my neighbor. And Jesus said to him, now think about these three. The priest, the Levite, the physician. Which one do you think was his neighbor? Guess what he said? He said, he that showed mercy. Oh, let me tell you, dear friends, it's mercy we want. Two Baptist deacons were down praying. One of them said, Lord, give us our just dues. The other one jumped up, moved over. He said, I was afraid God would give it to him. Me sitting there right there by him. We never want our just dues. We want the mercy of God. It was the mercy of God that sent Jesus to Calvary. It was the mercy of God that brought him up out of the tomb. It was the mercy of God that ascended him back up on high. It's the mercy of God that brings about your personal salvation. And we always want that mercy. And some of you gathered in this congregation this morning may be on that broad road. Where does it lead? To destruction. To destruction. You're heading for destruction. Give me a hand. Give me a hand. Let me try and stabilize you for just a moment. Let me hold your hand. Because if I can stabilize you for just a moment, I'll pass you off to the nail-scarred hand. And everything will be all right. Once he takes hold of you, everything will be all right. So I'm saying to you, if you're on Jericho's rotten road, there's hope. But the hope is in a person. It's not in a religious form. It's not in those kinds of things. It's in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And to reject him is the worst thing you can do. And if you've accidentally got yourself on the wrong road, the broad road, I beg of you, let me hold on to you for just a minute. Give me a hand. And then let me pass you off to him. Not only that, but I'm looking for recruits to come and join this church and say, I want to be a part of a group that helps those that have been rescued. We have a lot of babes in Christ here, don't we, Pastor? And those babes in Christ, God bless them, need stronger, older people to help them understand the pathway there to follow. That's our job. And it's a good job. And Jesus said, I'll pay you for it when I come back. If you do any more than you think you need to have done, I'll pay you for it. So I'm asking this morning, as my musicians get in their places, I'm asking you to make a decision, an everlasting decision that will get you off of the broad road and get you on a narrow road that leads to life. Leads to life. That's not a difficult choice. The broad road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. But it's up to you. Now, the wounded man didn't say to the good Samaritan, don't help me. I don't want to be helped. I want to die here. No. He knew the physician had the things he needed. And I'm here to tell you, according to the entirety of the book of God, Jesus Christ has the things you need. Let him help you. He wants to help you. Stand up. Stand up everywhere. Now, I want you to be ready to make some move here. I want those of you that are not saved to come right quick. I want you to come on the first verse. I don't want you to wait and see what somebody else is going to do. It's you I'm talking to, and I want to know what you are going to do. You ought to come. You say, well, I don't know what to say. That's all right. Run down here and say to the pastor, I don't know what to say, but I need to be rescued. He'll know how to help you. Those of you who need to join the church, I want you to come. Your coming may give some unsaved person courage to come. The music, madam. The song, son. Come on.